I'd like to dismiss our children to Sunday school. Thank God for our Sunday school teachers. Amen. Brother Savadik, if we could leave the screen down. I'd like to turn your attention to Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So God's got some secrets, and well, He gives those secrets to us, not everybody.
That's right.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
I was telling my wife on the way over here this morning, I just, it's so hard for me. If I buy something for someone, I feel like I have to give it to them. When I teach Bible studies, one of the greatest portions of that first lesson is that it didn't rain before the flood. And when people see that, that everything was water from the midst of the ground, they become preachers immediately because they have to tell somebody about what they learned.
Amen.
You know? When we were filled with the Holy Ghost, wow, we just had to tell somebody. In fact, we told everybody because it was such a phenomena in our life. Amen. 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest or revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel.
Amen.
We see things because we have been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's like a spotlight from heaven has revealed things to us that we never saw before. We were all blind, but now we are able to see. He touched
Amen.
Us. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word this morning. We're grateful that we have it. It's a treasure.
Amen.
It's not a matter of opinion. It's a matter of, thus saith the Lord. And we feel safe in that.
Amen.
And we don't want to go outside of it in order to please our own flesh. Bless it, anoint it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God has given us information and revelation that most of the world does not have any kind of privilege to. We see that more and more as the world is winding down, how they are just not cognizant of what God likes or God wants. Secret things that belong to God that has been revealed unto us that we may do all of what the Word of God says. One of the reasons God gives us the revelation and the information as it's preached is so there is a response.
Amen.
Because if there's no response, you know, just hearing isn't enough. It's responding to the Word of God that's important. Now, Amazon is probably the greatest of all retailers. It's a giant. They're just growing by leaps and bounds. They're going from, you know, just books as they started out with to furniture and food and prescriptions and everything that you can possibly imagine. You have Prime members who get free delivery and, you know, and so instead of leaving your home, you just look at a little screen, push a button, and it gets to your house. Now, they have hundreds of thousands of square foot warehouses that hold all of these things so that you can get them in a day, maybe two at the very most. They show up. They have trucks and they have planes and they have even drones that will deliver these things to whoever needs them, and everybody has a different need.
That's right.
But you know what? Even if all of their warehouses are filled with all of the desires and all of the needs, you know, they have a system, an incredible system, computerized system that hunts it down, finds it, and that delivers it to individuals, but it doesn't do any good if it stays in the warehouse. Wow, we have the greatest warehouses. You should see our warehouse. It is absolutely beautiful. It is packed with every kind of desire that anybody would ever want in our warehouse.
Amen.
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 Glory to God. The altar is open. Church, we're sitting in a warehouse this morning.
Amen.
Our product is information and revelation. The product we have is the secrets that God has revealed to each and every one of us. Each week we pack more product from this pulpit.
Amen.
Ready for distribution. Somehow we must deliver that is in the warehouse out to individuals, because we've got everything that anybody could possibly want.
Amen.
But God's looking for somebody to deliver it. The whole book of Acts is all about men and women delivering revelation of God to people who were all around them. The whole purpose for the Holy Ghost is that you become a witness.
Amen.
Take the power in order to deliver. We really don't need more revelation.
All right.
We need more distribution.
Amen.
When I was in the Army, the drill sergeant on the firing line would say, "Ready, aim, fire." He didn't say, "Ready, aim, aim, aim." And somehow I think sometimes we get the church to aim, aim.
Amen.
But we're not the witness. If we know it, we owe it to somebody.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
You know, we're baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, and so there will not be a white throne judgment that we stand and answer for our sins. Just one simple application of his blood.
Amen.
Says, okay, no judgment for you. But there will be a judgment for us.
Right.
There'll be a righteous judgment. Have you distributed what I've given you? I said a couple of weeks ago that the enemy of our soul wants to steal our identity as apostolics. So there's no difference between us and every other denomination. He wants to homogenize and mix us all together with everything else that's out there, that we look like them and even adopt their beliefs, because we want to blend in. And that's exactly what happened in the Old Testament with Israel. They started to blend in with all of the other nations around. Somebody told me this morning that U-Line demands that the men wear suits and ties and the women wear skirts. Now, how can an employer get people to dress properly and then yet the church rebel against that? Hallelujah. Same is true about our God. The enemy wants the identity of God to be camouflaged in a religion, a cloak of religion, a God in disguise in three persons with absolutely no name. But we know the secret.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He gave us the secret. Hallelujah. Now, some secrets aren't to be told, but God's giving this secret to us so we can tell somebody.
Amen.
Amen. According to Deuteronomy 29 and 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord, but those things are revealed unto us that we would understand God's purpose for our lives. Jesus said in John 15, the world will never accept us because they know not him that sent me. So if we're thinking that I've got to get along with everybody, accepted by everybody, you know, maybe you just don't have the same self-confidence in God that you're supposed to, because we aren't supposed to blend in with people. We're supposed to stand out because of the revelation and the information that we have. So the greatest secret in the world is, who is God?
Amen.
It's the greatest. It separates us from every other religion within the world because they believe that God is a trio. The devil doesn't want you to know who God is. He wants God to be a nameless mystery somewhere out in space, a long ways from you, that really doesn't identify with you or talk to you. And God wants to talk to everybody that has been filled with the Holy Ghost on a regular basis. You don't have to wait until Sunday or Wednesday in order to hear the voice of God. Did you know that there are more people who celebrate Mother's Day than Father's Day? Amen. Why? Because they can identify their mother, but many times they don't know who their father is. He was there for the conception, but he left soon after and hasn't been seen since. The mother was the one left to raise the children, and she is the only one who can really identify who the father really is. What a perfect example of most churches today. There are more people who love the church. I love that church. I love it because of the songs. I love it because of the people. But they don't really know who the father is. Raised by the mother. The church, because they can identify the mother, but they don't know who Jesus really is. You see, he hasn't been seen since 10 days before the Holy Ghost was poured out. And the newborn saints are left to be raised by the mother, the church. That's every one of us. And we, the real church, are the only ones who can identify the Father by name. I know who Jesus is.
Amen.
I know Jesus is the Father. I know Jesus is the Son. I know Jesus is the Holy Ghost. And all these three are one. It's more important to know who the Father is than the Mother. And we didn't receive the knowledge by our wisdom, but we received it by His Spirit. Now, there are some secrets that only belong to God, and they aren't revealed to the church or even to angels. God has just kept those secrets, amen, from the very beginning. Matthew 24 and 36 says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only, or the Spirit of God. Can you imagine what would happen if the secret of when Jesus is coming was revealed to everybody the day that Jesus will call home his saints? People would live any way they wanted right up until the last day before he comes. You know what? This summer I'm just going to take off because I'm confident that God isn't coming until October 4th, you know? But the important thing is he has revealed to those who seek him and are filled with the Spirit, he wants to let us, he doesn't keep secrets from the people that he loves.
Amen.
They are the down payments of what is yet to be revealed to us. Turn to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. First Corinthians chapter 2 and starting in verse number 6. It says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You know, even the devil and all of his imps didn't know that Jesus was God. You know, he was in some form of cognito, if you will, up until the time he went to Calvary, because if he would have revealed himself, and the enemy of our soul would have known that, the last thing that would have happened is he would have gone to the cross. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us, how? By his Spirit. Amen. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. In other words, you know, we wouldn't have a clue, folks, except the Spirit of God quickens our mind and our spirit to those things that no one else knows. Jesus gave portions of truth to his disciples, and he tested them from time to time. Who do men say that I am? Peter's the only one who got to that place where he said, you are the Lord. And Jesus said, well, you know what? It wasn't wisdom that gave you that. It was the revelation of my Father or the Spirit of God. Thank God for the earnest of our inheritance. Amen. Amen. We're looking for blessings. One of the greatest of the blessings is the knowledge,
yes, it is,
the revelation that we have of God. I've had people, I think at least once in the last 30 years, say, Pastor, that was a great message. And that's nice. I appreciate that. What are you going to do with it?
Amen.
What are you going to do with the revelation? Have you told anybody it didn't rain before the flood? Because those are the things that cause people to come in for more revelation. It tantalizes people. Wow, I never heard of that. You know, I cannot tell you how many times I've gone to play tennis with three Baptist guys, and before we'd start playing tennis, they say, so what did you preach on Sunday? You know? Do you know why? They're starving. They're getting book reports. We don't realize what God is distributing to us on a regular basis, some good nourishment, great revelation.
Amen.
Have you ever wondered why Jesus didn't just sit down with his disciples and just make it plain? The only way I could save you from sin was for me, Elohim, the creator of heaven and earth, to put on flesh of man and become a sacrifice for your sins. I'm not the second person in the Godhead. I don't just look and act like God. I am not a facsimile of God. I am God. Now, if I were God, yeah, I would have just made it so simple so there wouldn't be any question in their mind, but he couldn't, you see. Jesus could have expressed it in the simplest of terms that even Bible scholars could understand, you know. But let's look what he said in John, the 17th chapter. John chapter 17 and verse 21. that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them my name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. Now, folks, that confuses me. I don't want you to get the wrong idea, but I can see why some people, including his disciples, were a little bit confused as to who Jesus was. Even when Peter got an A for the right answer, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus responded, blessed art thou, Simon by Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I wonder if Peter said, I thought I had it, but now it's gone. You know? Even when Jesus said in John 14 and 9, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? You know, God was giving them little revelation, little bits of pieces of who he really was, but he couldn't totally reveal himself in the Gospels because it was under the Old Testament, and he could not reveal himself completely until after Calvary. Amen. Take a look at Romans, the 16th chapter. Romans chapter 16 and verse 25. Now unto him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. See, the greatest secret in the whole world is that Jesus is God, and he robed himself in flesh in order to be that perfect sacrifice for us. No one knew that. But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So God revealed, we come to the New Testament, and all of a sudden we have a brand new picture of who Jesus really is. In the Old Testament, many sought the name of God. Over and over, we find that people have asked who or what is the name of God. Moses, Abraham, Jacob. Jacob wrestled with God. He saw him face to face, and he asked for his name, and of course, Jesus wouldn't give him his name. But God would not reveal his name before he came in the flesh. And in the Old Testament, they knew God as Elohim and Jehovah. But those were not the names of God. They were the titles of God. And so now all of a sudden there are people who are lifting up the title of God instead of the name of God. And the title just references the attributes of God, the character of God. Hebrews chapter 1. I know we're using a lot of scripture, but it's important. Hebrews 1 and verse number 1. God, who at sundry or many times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son or flesh, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So here's a oneness scripture that says, you know what? It is the flesh of God or Jesus Christ that spoke the worlds into existence. None of that was found in the Gospels. None of that was found in the Old Testament. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than an angel, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I get excited about this church. I know who he is. There were so many titles of God that described his position, his attitude. In fact, every prophet in the Old Testament was a shadow and type of what Jesus is. Every prophet. Isaac, a long-promised son, and eventually father took him up to be sacrificed, you know, on an altar. Glory to God. Elohim is translated 2,300 times, meaning simply God. Elohim means God. Elohim is not the personal name of God. It is his official title. He is God, and there isn't any other. Like president is a title of the chief executive officer of the United States, but it's not the name, it's the title. The meaning of Elohim is literally the putting forth of power or strong one. Amen. God is the strong one. Amen. He is all powerful. Right. Now the word God and Lord in capital letters are translated Jehovah. So every time you see Lord or God in a capital letter, it's Jehovah. There can be many Elohims or small G-O-D-S in this world, but there is only one real Jehovah. His name is Jesus. Exodus 20 and 2 says, I am the Lord thy God, or I am Jehovah thy Elohim. Every time Jehovah is used is connected with the deliverances of God. When the word Jehovah is used, it means I'm going to deliver you somehow. That's who he is. We've got a God of deliverance. This name was also sacred to the Jews, that it was written by them but would never be pronounced because they were afraid that they would pronounce it the wrong way and offend God, so they used YHVH. Can you imagine never using the name of God? Now, I know I'm a little picky, but I heard somebody pray yesterday, a minister, Father, in the name of Jesus. It's like taking your fingernails and running it across the blackboard because what it somehow implies is that there is more than one. Jesus is the Father. It's not Father in the name of Jesus. Jehovah means self-existent or eternal one. And in Psalms 40 and 17, it says, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord, or Adonai, thinketh upon me. Adonai here means master or owner. Again, not a name, but a title. So Adonai is, I'm the master, I am the owner. You know what? We ought to get to the place where we don't own ourselves. He's the landlord of these bodies. I'd like to do some remodeling. I'm wondering if it's okay. There's some things I want to change. Is it all right? I don't want to be evicted. In Genesis 17:1, it says, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord, or Jehovah, appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am Almighty, or El Shaddai. Walk before me and be perfect. El Shaddai means Almighty God or All Sufficient God.
Amen.
Abram was 99 years old and he was not able to bring forth a child of promise. There are some things, folks, that are absolutely impossible with man.
Amen.
But El Shaddai,
well,
he can take care of them for us. There is an El Shaddai watching over every impossible situation in our life. And what God is saying, I am the El Shaddai in your life. It's not my name, but this is what I can do for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Then there are the nine Jehovah's combinations of God's attributes to meet every redemptive need that we have. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide for us in every situation.
Amen.
If you don't believe in Jehovah Jireh, well, you're not going to receive all of what God wants to give you. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth.
Amen.
I believe there's a Jehovah that wants to heal us. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is our banner. Jehovah Kadesh, the Lord that sanctifies. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of peace. He's the Lord that gives us sleep at night. The Lord who prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Jehovah Tiskanu, the Lord, our righteousness. We can never, ever get righteous on our own, but we have a Jehovah that gives us righteousness. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, my shepherd. He is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's the one who leads me in paths of righteousness. So why do we study these Old Testament titles of God? Because all these progressive titles of God roll forward. And so many just look at it as just another, well, some kind of adjective. And all of these titles invest all of their power and meaning into the final summation of the name.
Amen.
Of all ages.
Amen.
The name of Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is the totality or the sum total of all of the attributes of every title that we ever find in the Word of God.
Amen.
It's all wrapped up in Jesus.
Amen.
He's the Word made flesh.
Right.
And when we get to that place where we have an impossible situation or something, immediate need, we don't call 911, we yell out, Jesus, which
Amen.
Covers every word that is in this book.
Amen.
All of his attributes, all of his titles.
Amen.
Colossians 2:10 says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. Matthew 28 and 18 says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Don't you have to ask the Father first? No, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. And if I can't use the name, I can't get the power. If I don't know who God is, if we're thinking he's just kind of a committee of gods, he is El Shaddai, Adonai, Elohim. He is Jehovah, the self-existent one. He's always there for me. He is my peace. He is my provider. There came a time about 4,000 years after the creation that the vault of heaven was then opened. A sealed envelope was placed in the hands of an angel named Gabriel, and he was instructed to take the name and give it to a humble girl by the name of Mary. And the name above every name was revealed. Matthew 1 and 2 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins." No one can adequately describe how important this name above all names is. Amen. One thing I know, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. The one and only God of the Old Testament robed himself in the flesh of man so we could be reconciled to him. Amen. It's the greatest mystery and the greatest secret ever revealed to mankind. Amen. Amen. How does a spaceship work? I don't know. How does a computer work? I don't know. But I know one thing. I know the name of the God who has created everything that has no limitations whatsoever. 2 Corinthians 5 and 19 says it all. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Amen. Amen. If you'll turn to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 and verse number 10. This book of Isaiah is just the greatest revelation of who Jesus is. Amen. "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand Amen. That I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." I mean, how much clearer could it be that there is only one God, there wasn't a God before him, there wasn't a God that was born after him? And that the God of the Old Testament is also the Savior of the New Testament. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Revelation, the fourth chapter. If you yawn at this stuff, there's something wrong. If you're getting excited about a new baseball season and you can't get excited about the name of Jesus, there's something wrong. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I'll show thee things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, when we were in Mexico this time and other times, we went into several churches, and they have a picture of the Trinity in every one of those churches. There is a young man sitting partially on the throne, and then an old man next to him on the throne, and then there is a dove that is floating over him, and it talks about this is the Trinity. Now, you know, I'd rather have the picture that the Scripture describes of who God really is. People who have been led down a wrong road, who can't get to God because they can't identify God. In these end times, you're not going to have your house broken into as much as your identity is going to be stolen. And in these end times, I'm telling you, what the enemy wants to do is steal the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you could steal his identity, then all of the power is gone. Oh, I believe in God just like you believe in God. I don't have to. That's a lie from hell. Amen. Glory to God. Psalms 132. Psalms 132 and verse 11. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. Amen. So we find that Jesus is a descendant of David. Amen. Glory to God. It's imperative that we know who Jesus is.
Amen.
Imperative.
Yes, it is.
Amen. 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 Colossians 3 and 17 says, and whatsoever ye do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
There are people who will pray for the sick in Jesus' name. They'll pray for deliverance in Jesus' name. But when it comes to baptism, somehow, they don't use the name of Jesus. They use the titles. You could baptize in Jehovah, Adonai, El Shaddai. It won't work.
Amen.
They're just attributes of who he is. Ephesians 4 and 5 says, one Lord, one faith or religious truth, one baptism. There is one God or supreme deity and Father of all who is above all or superimposed over us and through all or channeled through us and in you all. He came, he died, he was buried, he rose again, ascended into heaven, came back because he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will be with you. And now that supreme God with all of his attributes, all of the Jehovah attributes, all of the El Shaddai attributes, Elohim, Adonai, all of those attributes or titles are right inside of us. The power of God, and we have the name of God, Jesus, written upon each and every one of us.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is.
Amen.
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 Glory to God.
Amen.
I'd like to empty out the warehouse, folks. I'd like to deliver
Amen.
somewhat some of what God has given each and every one of us, because there are people ordering online today. God, I need you. God, if there's more, I want you. Are we the ones who will distribute all of the secret things that God has given us to those around us who so desperately need the name above every name, whereby we must be saved? Somehow, we got to get the secret out of the house to individuals who don't know who Jesus is. And I have a responsibility because I know what other people don't know. And if you know it, I know we owe it. Owe it to people around us. Why are you here? And the reason you're here is somebody brought something from the warehouse of heaven to you and said, do you know who God is? Hallelujah. Would you come to a Bible study? I don't want to stand next to relatives one day. I don't want to stand next to co-workers or friends and they'll say, he never told me. I've told you this story years ago. There were some close friends when I was growing up in high school that we got together on a regular basis. And then even after we were married, my wife and I had some time together with this married couple. We've known for many, many years. We had a nice time together. Years later, we came into the church, and there they were. And Jack came over to me. Rita came over to my wife, said, I am so sorry. We never told you about this because we never thought you would ever accept this. Amen. I wonder how many there are around us. We look at them and we think, this week we spent 3 days literally handing out hundreds and hundreds of flyers to people in the park about this revival that we were having. I would say that 98% of the flyers that we handed out, people grabbed. They wanted it. I don't know if that would happen in America, but in Mexico, they were so hungry for something because they were so steeped in the false doctrine. It's all around them. And we have truth. We have truth. It's getting nice out. We're making plans for the summer. Amen. We're going to have picnics. We're going to have barbecues. We're going to get together with family. But wouldn't it be important for us to distribute some of the wealth that God has given us?
All right.
And we don't see empty pews because, we have to take advantage of the weather. We need to take advantage of the social season, if you will, to distribute the secret things of God to others that are around us. And I'll guarantee you, if you purpose that, you will have the best summer you have ever had. Not only you will have more enjoyment, you will have greater peace, you'll have better financial blessings. It all It's all in what you do with what you have.
Amen.
Amen. Hearing is not doing. And we can get to the place where we're satisfied with just hearing. Let's pack this warehouse with more revelation. No, I think we need to use what we got.
Amen.
Or we're going to lose it forever. Amen. I hope you don't think I was yelling at you. I want to see this place filled.
Yeah.
When we were gone, I understand that there were people who were preaching that. I'm so grateful for those who preached and took services.
Yeah.
But you know what? I feel that there is a spirit of God that's saying, if we're not going to do it now, when? You know, there are a lot of people who are saying, oh, this area is just going to prosper because of Foxconn. Oh, houses are going to go up. You know what? Let's think about this church is going to prosper. There's going to be people who are going to come here. All those who love the pastor, stand up. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Aren't you glad you know?
Amen.
Don't you wish everybody did?
Yeah.
There was this old commercial that said, aren't you glad you used Dial? Don't you wish everybody did? Something about that name that makes it sweeter.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. The altar's open. Would you come?